Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Our listener support campaign continues. You can send us a one-time donation, support.greatdetectives.net, or to the Zelle app, to box13 at greatdetectives.net, or also by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. Or you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Patreon.greatdetectives.net enable us to have a really steady income coming in, and the possibility we have goals to buy improved equipment and also to reach such a level we don't have to do listener support campaigns in the future. And in addition to that, you get some influence over what we do on the podcast. You can help choose which of the episodes of the series voted listener's choice that we'll end up playing each month. Plus, you get to vote on our summer series on the amazing world of radio. To become part of that, you do need to become one of our Patreons by the end of the month. So just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date, October 23rd, 1949, the Diorot Bowl.
Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, The Diorite Bowl.
I had just opened up the tambourine that morning and was back in the kitchen glancing over the menu for the day. Chris, my bartender, came in, nodded toward the front, said somebody wanted to see me. So I went out through the cafe, and there at the door, peering nervously in from the street, stood a skinny little girl, 12 or 13 maybe, dressed in the robes of the fellaheen. A small vessel was clutched in her hands, and what I noticed most was the strange look of anxiety and fear on her soft, round face. The same fear sounded in her voice.
Most kind defender Jordan.
That's me, little lady. What can I do for you?
My father sends his humble regrets that he could not come today.
Your father?
El Mahmoud, he who brings the honey.
Oh, El Mahmoud, of course. Well, he's told me all about you.
I am the daughter, Sharon. If you will take the honey.
Sure. Come in, Sharon. Come in.
No, I cannot enter. I will go now.
Wait a minute, Sharon. You got some money coming, remember?
Oh, the money, yes. If you would get it quickly, sir.
She waited there as I set the vessel of honey on a shelf behind the bar and went to the till for some cash. El Mahmoud had been making his deliveries to my tambourine regularly for a long time. I needed honey for one of my mixed drinks, and the fine product from his apiary seemed especially good. Or maybe it's just that I liked El Mahmoud. I was surprised that he hadn't shown up himself, and the actions of his daughter had me wondering. There you are, Sharon.
The shock here, Effendi Jordan.
Why didn't your father come in this morning?
My father remains at the farm.
Sort of hoping to see him. We always had coffee together. Is everything all right with him?
Please, Effendi, if you would permit me to depart.
Of course, Sharon. Come on, run along. Give El Mahmoud my regards. He was quickly running away, and I was sure now her worry was connected some way with her father. As I stood watching, I saw a short, plump man in continental dress appear out of a doorway. The greedy eyes in his pudgy face shifted my way for a second, then he drifted after Sharon. I kept thinking about it as I finished up the tambourine and finally decided to find out from her father what it was all about. I drove across Cairo, south along the river and into the hills that fringed the desert. Soon I pulled into El Mamad's little farm, past the pigeon roost, the gate, and onto the house. Down the hill beyond were his well-kept apiaries, swarming with bees fed on clover fields from the Nile below. Nobody was outside the house, so I knocked and waited.
Who is this?
It's Rocky, El Mamad. Mind if I come in?
Oh, it's Pendy Jordan. Welcome to my humble home.
Thank you. Is your daughter here?
She has retired to the other room. But why would you ask of her?
Just a little worried, El Mamad. Is something wrong?
Wrong?
Sharon was frightened when she came to my cafe. When I asked about you, she wouldn't answer. She ran away crying.
Please, please, do not be concerned. She is but a sensitive child.
Oh, there's something else, El Mamad. A short, pudgy man trailed her away from the cafe. Now look, maybe it's none of my affair, but if you're in trouble, I'd like to help.
Effendi, I deeply respect your most gracious friendship, but what transpires is not for you.
The man following wasn't one of your people.
I beg you, concern yourself no more.
Who was he? What do you want? Why are you locking yourself up in this house? All right. Yeah, I'd better drop it.
But wait. Forgive my poor hospitality. I will have Sharon prepare the coffee. We will drink together.
Do you think you better answer that? Yeah, maybe I'd better.
No. I will answer.
He moved hesitantly to the door, slid back the latch, turned the knob, and cracked it just a little. And all at once, the door slammed open wide. Propelled by the heel of a hulking Turk who strode heavily in. He had thick, sneering lips and a long, pointed black mustache. His huge hand held a small gun.
I have come, El Mamad.
I pray you go from my house.
What's this about, mister?
Who is the American?
His name is Jordan. He has no part in it.
He will most wisely keep it so. Now, where is it?
I cannot tell you.
You know of what I speak? The bowl. Get it quickly.
Please, if you would but go away and return at another time, then I will be ready to...
What is this you say? Did you not make the agreement?
It is as you say. However, I need must have more time to think. But a little more time.
There is no more time. Give it to me. No!
But I cannot...
Then I will take it in my own way. Perhaps it is on the shelf. No!
I swear it is not here. Please, I beg you.
Soon I will see...
Mamad, what's this all about? What's he looking for?
Effendi Jordan, I cannot tell. I cannot tell.
Enough! Oh, well, Mamad. You choose to make it difficult. Very well, I will return. Very soon. For the last time. What does that mean? You, Jordan, will come with me back into Cairo. I do not wish you here. I do not wish you here. At all!
I don't argue with a gun, so when he waved it toward the door, I went out with the Turk right behind me. He got in the car beside me, and he didn't say any more as we drove back into the city. As we honked our way through a crowded street not far from the tambourine, he was suddenly out of the car and gone. In another 5 minutes, I was back again in the tambourine and headed for the phone. Just before I got to my office, a man seated at a back table spoke to me.
A moment, Mr. Jordan.
He wore the fez of the upper-class Egyptian, and I decided not to pass him up.
It is most important, Mr. Jordan.
Could it wait for a while?
I'm afraid not. I am Kasha Bey of the Egyptian government. Ministry of Antiquities, Mr. Jordan.
Oh, I see. What can I do for you?
Please sit down. I will explain as quickly as possible. Now, Mr. Jordan, is it possible that you have ever heard of the Diorite Bowl?
Doesn't mean anything to me.
A most wonderful relic of ancient Egypt. Fourth dynasty, almost 5,000 years old. Small, but of great value in its proper place.
Well, that's very interesting, but how does that concern me?
Please, I will continue. There is such a bowl now in the Egyptian Museum, but we have a strong reason to believe that there is still another, equally as valuable. It was unearthed recently, quite by chance, by one of the fellaheen while tilling his soil.
Yeah, I follow. Go on.
It is the law that all such relics, when found, be turned over immediately to the Ministry of Antiquities, for which the finder is paid a fair price. However, there are, shall we say, temptations which sometimes lead the finder to withhold the relic and sell it on the black market for a much higher price, you see.
Well, let's get back to the Diorite Bowl.
Mr. Jordan, such is the case with the finder of the new Diorite Bowl. It came to our attention only recently when he moved to sell it on the black market.
What's his name?
El Mamat. A good friend of yours, I believe.
I thought so. Why come to me, Kashyap Bey? He must know where he lives.
Oh, why indeed, Mr. Jordan? If we asked, would he not deny? Then in his fear, might he not dispose of it quickly and perhaps even destroy it? At all costs, we must preserve this rare antique.
Well, that makes sense. What about the police?
We prefer that they remain out of it until the bowl is quite safe with us. Otherwise, the consequences might be serious.
And what am I, the go-between?
Correct, Mr. Jordan. As an intermediary, you are a most wise choice. Please assure El Mama that we have no desire to prosecute. The Ministry of Antiquities wants only the Diorite Bowl, and at once.
How do I convince him?
That should be easy. We are still willing to pay a nominal fee, £1,000, which I leave with you in this envelope, Mr. Jordan.
Now, wait a minute, Kashyap. I haven't agreed to all this yet.
Oh, for a friend, Mr. Jordan, please think it over. Once you have purchased the bowl from El Mamad, you will bring it to me at Talbot House. Until then, Mr. Jordan, I bid you goodbye.
Kashyap turned and walked out without a second look at the bulky envelope he had laid on the table in front of me. I picked it up, put it in my pocket, went into my office, and finally put my call through to Captain Sam Sabaya. But by the time he answered, I wasn't sure what I wanted.
Cairo Police, Sabaya speaking.
Oh, hello, Sam. It's Rocky.
Oh, Rocky. What is on your mind?
I'm wondering if you have much contact with the Ministry of Antiquities.
Naturally, Jordan. In a nation such as Egypt, it is a most important branch of the government. We work very closely with them.
Mm-hmm. Any trouble with a black market in antiques?
Most assuredly. We are doing everything we can to control it, but a most ticklish business, I might add.
Oh, why?
You must realize that antiquities are of intangible value and must be preserved at all costs. The police take a hand only when other efforts have failed.
Who's Kashyap Bey at the ministry?
Jordan, there are a great number of employees at the ministry. Do you expect me to know all their names? Tell me, why do you ask?
You ever hear of the Diorite Bowl, sir?
The There is such a relic in the museum.
But another one, about to get on the black market, maybe.
Jordan, it is time now that you explain the purpose of your questioning. And at once.
Oh, just working a crossword puzzle, Sam. Thanks. Well, so far, Kashyap Bey's story checked. And the place to get the rest of it was from El Mamad himself, out at his apiary. So I kept the money in my pocket and went out the back door to go for my car. All at once, I wasn't alone.
To the wall, Jordan, quick.
The point of his heavy knife at my throat meant business, and I backed up like he said. He was the pudgy, shifty-eyed character I'd seen earlier that morning following Sharon. He was wearing elevator shoes now, but it didn't help.
We meet at last, Jordan.
Watch out, you'll cut yourself.
Or you. Silence now. I get what I want.
Even if it takes following little native girls?
You'll keep your hands back while I search. I warn you, this knife...
Why didn't you send the Turk around? He gets rough, too.
The Turk, I do not know.
I got news for you. He didn't find anything.
But I find something, do I not? An envelope filled with Egyptian pounds. You will need this no more.
Look, whatever your name is.
But I thought with this you were going to the home of El Mamad to get the bowl.
Oh, was it?
I do not like it.
Tell me some more.
I do not like you, Jordan. I tell you to keep out of this. I tell you to return to your cafe.
And you keep the money.
I do. I keep the money and give you warning, Jordan.
I grabbed for his knife hand and he darted back, the knife clattering to the ground behind him. He whirled and picked it up by the blade, and as I dived in, he swung. The handle glanced off my head the first time, the next time squarely across the face. My knees hit the dirt, and he swung again. Then I clawed at the cobwebs, waiting for the knife, but the blackness got there first.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Pass the ketchup, please. That sounds familiar, but it means so much more when you say,
pass the Del Monte ketchup, please.
Yes, it means so much more, because Del Monte ketchup does so much. Adds so much zesty, hearty flavor to the foods everybody likes.
That's because Del Monte ketchup is made with pineapple vinegar.
pineapple vinegar. Yes, pineapple vinegar. The big secret of Del Monte catsup flavor. Pineapple vinegar is one of the big reasons Del Monte catsup is livelier and more satisfying. Catsup experts say the finer the vinegar, the better the catsup flavor. And pineapple vinegar is superlative vinegar. It has a special way of bringing out every bit of tomato flavor in catsup. It blends perfectly with the special herbs and spices to make the liveliest catsup that ever pleased a man. Yes, pineapple vinegar is the big flavor secret in Del Monte catsup.
For real spice tomato goodness, I wouldn't be without Del Monte catsup. It really makes plain food come to life.
And for all its goodness, Del Monte catsup costs less than many other quality brands.
Try Del Monte catsup. You'll like it.
Now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Diorite Bowl.
When things began to clear, I was still lying in the alley. My first thought was for the 1,000 pounds Kasha Faye had given me. As I reached for my inside pocket, I remembered it was gone. So was the pudgy man with a knife. It was somebody else bending over me.
Effendi Jordan.
Sharon, how did you get here?
My father and I came most urgently to see you.
Well, it's about time. Where is he?
What's your face, Effendi? You have been hurt.
Get your father, Sharon.
My father? It is the Jordan Bey. Come quickly. He has been waiting in the street.
Oh, my good Effendi Jordan, what have they done to you?
Forget about me, El Mama. I want to know some things about a diorite bowl.
Then you have already learned.
That's right. You're in trouble, El Mamad.
I know. That is why my daughter and I decided to come and accept your offer of help. What I would tell you brings me only shame.
Now go on.
Some time ago, I unearthed in my fields the bowl of which you speak. I was aware at once of its priceless value and hid it away.
Didn't you know the law says you turn such relics over to the authorities? They'll pay.
I knew, my Effendi, I knew. But I am a most poor man. I knew that I could sell elsewhere for a much greater sum. Finally, after much hesitation, I approached a certain man in Cairo and arranged for the sale.
A short, pudgy man, continental dress?
As you say. His name is Varios. I agreed to deliver the bowl at the time of payment. But then I began to realize my wrong and sent word to Varios that I had changed my mind.
Only you changed it too late. Varios sent the Turk out to convince you.
But even before that, I had received most violent threats, but I was sealed to my bargain. You can understand my fear. I knew not what to do.
I can tell you that, El Mamad.
You will help me then, my Effendi?
It's simple. Turn over your diorite bowl to the government right away.
It is my wish. But Jordan Bey,
they won't prosecute. I have their promise.
Then you have talked with them about this.
Kasha Bey of the Ministry of Antiquities came to see me about it. He's waiting for an answer.
Then you may tell him that I am ready.
Just one thing, El Mamad. The money Kasha Bey gave me to pay is gone. Varios took it from me.
So, the will of Allah, it is just punishment for my great wrong.
I took El Mamad and his daughter Sharon up to my room over the tambourine and told them to wait there. My only job now is to get Kasha Bey and bring him together. I picked up the phone, then changed my mind and decided to go get him just in case. Just as I got out the door to the street, a black limousine pulled up and a familiar figure stepped to the curb.
Jordan?
Oh, hello, Sam. I was just leaving.
A moment. I've come for a word with you.
Sure, what about?
I think you very well know. Not more than an hour ago, you phoned me regarding a relic known as the Diorite Bowl. One not now in the hand of the government. When I questioned your interest, I got nothing.
Well, I told you, Sam.
What you said was only evasion. Such as I have come to expect of you, Jordan. Now listen to me. There is something going on, and I intend to know what it is.
Well, let me stop you.
So, still you will tell me nothing. It would, of course, be futile at this point to warn you away from what does not concern you.
Then we're both wasting time, obviously.
Yeah.
Sam got back into his car and drove away, and I headed for the Talbot House. I wasn't more than 2 blocks on my way when I noticed Varios, the guy who had cuffed me around in the alley, following behind. I decided to shake him. It took only a few blocks, and I reached the Talbot House. I told Kasha Bey El Mamad was waiting. Right away, he came with me back to the tambourine. We all sat down in my office, and Kasha Bey was all business.
El Mamad, Mr. Jordan tells me that you are ready to turn over to us the deer I bought.
I trust in Jordan Bey's counsel, Kasha Bey.
I still say you'd better do it, El Mamad.
As you advise, Effendi.
We hold to our promise not to prosecute. Once the bowl is in the hands of the ministry, neither you nor we need ever speak of this again.
Well, Mamad knows the money's gone.
Most regrettable, but it cannot be helped now. Unless we call on the police and tell
them... No, no, I beg you, for the sake of my daughter and I, let us have this done quickly.
Very well. Where is the bowl?
I hid it well, where none would suspect.
My father speaks truly, Kasha Bey.
Where is it?
The diorite bowl is in one of the hives of my apiary. In this hive, there are no bees. But the bowl is there and safe.
And how does one know which hive?
It is marked with paint, a cross of yellow.
You are telling the truth this time.
Before Allah, it is so.
Sir, come in.
Now, wait a minute. Who's out there in the cafe?
You may see for yourself.
I enter, Kasha Bey.
Hold the gun on him, sir. Do not let them move.
They will not move.
Jordan, it is the rude man who come to my house. What does this mean?
Since when does this big Turk work for you, Kasha Bey?
Since the beginning of it, Jordan. It is not yet clear.
Yeah. For one thing, you're not with the Ministry of Antiquities at all.
But my effendi, did you not tell me that...
Sure, El Mamad, I told you. Looks like I sold you a phony bill of goods.
Most conveniently for me, Jordan. Now, allow no one to enter or leave this room until you hear from me.
I invite them to try, Kasha Bey.
The Turk stood menacingly with the gun as El Mamad drew Sharon to him and sat with bowed head. Kasha Bey stepped to the alley door, opened it, and went out. And I stood wondering how I'd let myself be suckered into a deal like this. Looked like we were in for a long wait, but I was wrong again. Shots had come from the alley. We all whirled, and that included the Turk with the gun. I grabbed the chance and slammed down on his arm. He dropped the gun, and I came up with it just that quick. I held it on him as I opened the door and glanced out to see Kasha Bey sprawled face down in the alley, and the back of Barrios running far down as he turned into the street. I knew he'd heard the whole conversation from the window, and I knew where he was going. Tell Mama, can you hold the gun?
If it needs be, Effendi.
Take this one here and hold it on the Turk. Shoot if he moves.
That I will do also.
And Sharon?
Yes, Jordan.
Get to the phone there on my desk and call Captain Sam Sabaya, the Cairo police. Tell him to rush some men over here to pick up the Turk in Kasha Bey. And tell him I said to hop out to your father's apiary the quickest way he can.
Most quickly, I will call the captain. Most quickly.
Right away, I was out and driving across Cairo fast, knowing that Barrios was doing the same. Seemed like every camel and donkey and jalopy in Egypt was on the streets to slow me down. But finally, I was out on the winding road leading south. Just at dusk, I pulled up the hill past El Mamad's house. I got out and ran down the hill toward the apiaries. And I saw that Barrios was already there. He had just lifted one of the hives and was picking up a small bowl from underneath. I kept right on going, weaving cautiously around the hives filled with bees already settling for the night. Barrios saw me and started backing up, carefully at first.
Have a care, Jordan. No one will take the bowl from me.
I kept closing in, still weaving
I
toward
warn
him.
You. Keep back, Jordan. Do not try.
I was getting close,
time.
Too close for Barrios. I watched his hand go to his
will
pocket.
I
as it came out
you?
With a gun, I ducked. They missed, but the crack of the gun brought the bees swarming violently from the hives toward the sound. I kicked over a hive for good measure and was running. I made it away with only a couple of stings, and when I got where it was safe to look around, I saw Vario scrambling away down the hill, slapping wildly at the bees that covered him like a thick moving blanket. Suddenly, he stumbled and fell rolling. And that's when the bowl flew from his hand, struck a rock, shattered into a million pieces.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. You know, folks, the best way to find out the real value of a cooking sauce is to ask experienced cooks who use it. You see, there's a mighty good reason why Del Monte tomato sauce has been a favorite with good cooks for a whole generation. Let Mrs. U.E. Smalley of Pasadena, California, tell us about it. She said,
"Why, I guess I've used hundreds of cans of Del Monte tomato sauce during the past 26 years. I wouldn't be without it. You like to use a product you know is dependable, and that is certainly true of Del Monte tomato sauce. Every can is nice and smooth.
Nobody needs to tell me that Del Monte tomato sauce is made from ripe tomatoes and fine spices. Its flavor tells me that. Food that tastes good does you more good, I always say. And my tomato sauce recipes are family favorites. Del Monte's extra flavor makes any dish better.
Thank you, Mrs. Smalley. Yes, in tomato sauce, it's the flavor that counts. And the rich, spiced tomato flavor of Del Monte tomato sauce brings out all the best flavor of the food you cook with it. Del Monte tomato sauce is so low in cost, too, yet it does such big things for dishes like stew, spaghetti, and hash. Next time you go shopping, buy the original tomato sauce, Del Monte. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, Sam Sabai and his men showed up a couple of minutes later. We grabbed some head nets and got down the hill to Barrios. By the time we'd managed to scrape all the bees off of him, he was unconscious. The puffy little man was in a bad way as we took him back into town into a hospital. From there, Sam and I hurried on to the tambourine. The police had already come and gone, taking the Turk and the body of Kasha Bey with them. But El Mahmoud and his daughter were still there, anxiously waiting. It didn't take long to tell them everything that had happened.
And so, one of the most valuable relics of Egypt is gone. For all this, there is nothing.
My father!
Quiet, Cheryl, my daughter. There is nothing to be said.
El Mahmoud, although certain of your actions since finding the bowl cannot be condoned, you can hardly be held to be blamed for its final destruction.
Ah, oh, it is gone because of my own grief.
But please, my father...
Sharon, it is not well that you speak before the men.
There are so many who can be blamed. Is that not so, Jordan?
Sure, Sam. I neglected to make one little phone call. The Ministry of Antiquities about Kasha Bey. The trouble was, his story checked too well.
Needless to say, the Bey was not with the Ministry, but he knew much of their methods of operation. As for Varios...
Yeah, it's pretty clear, Sam. El Mahmoud made a deal with Varios to sell the bull, and very wisely changed his mind. But Varios wasn't to be stopped, started making big threats, trying to get Mahmoud to reveal where the bull was hidden.
And somewhere, Kasha Bey stepped into the picture.
Yeah, he heard about the Doriat bull and wanted it too. I figure he sent the Turk out to Mahmoud's house just for my benefit.
How so, George?
Once I knew that El Mahmoud was in real danger, it was a cinch I'd do everything possible to help. After Kasha Bey's pitch about being with the Ministry of Antiquities, all I had to do was talk Mahmoud into turning the bowl over to him. And I did.
Now that it is destroyed, what will they do?
Well, it is difficult to say. The loss of such a priceless article will not go unnoticed.
My father, listen to me.
Sharon,
now.
I told you
but
that...
But I must speak. The Dirite bowl is not lost.
Oh, well,
what is this you say?
I also have a confession to make. I knew where the bowl was hidden, and that my father was in danger. It was only for that reason that...
What are you saying, Sharon?
Only that I took the bowl from the hive, replacing it with a common crock from the kitchen.
Then what did you do with the Diorite bowl, Sharon?
In the Diorite bowl, I placed the honey and brought it to Jordan Bay only this morning.
Jordan? Hold it, Sam. We'll find out.
Where are you going?
Right here behind the bar. I set it on a shelf in plain sight when she brought it this morning. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, careful with it, Jordan.
Effendi, it is the one. It is indeed the one.
There can be little doubt. A remarkable find. A relic almost as ancient as Egypt itself.
Sharon, my child.
Did I do right, my father?
Ah, oh, by your innocence and love. The grace of Allah has been with us this day.
Yeah, Mama. You can rest assured the Ministry of Antiquities will pay you well.
Better take it out of here, Sam, before they catch me mixing drinks in it.
I fully intend to, Jordan. When you look on it again, it will be on display at the Museum of Egypt for all to see.
I got news for you, Sam. I'll be just as happy if I never see it again.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte ketchup and chili sauce, Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes,
and Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. ¶¶ Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Cool, stars Jack Moyles in the title role, with Jane Avello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The DeMarco Affair. For real country corn patch flavor, buy Del Monte corn. Golden cream style or whole kernel. Both styles, both Del Monte. Both mighty fine. One thing more. Your Red Feather community chest organizations need your help. Give generously during this campaign. Remember, everybody benefits when everybody gives. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, hooray for the daughter. I was going to point out how Rocky put everything in peril by not calling over to the Antiquities Department, but he did it for me, so I'm not going to belabor the point, except to say that I was really suspicious when they gave him £1,000 to negotiate with, and then did not actually get a receipt, which I know this is Egypt and it's the developing world, but, particularly in 1949, but I think you definitely get a receipt for something like that. And I do kind of wonder why Rocky didn't go ahead and put the money in his safe in his office. It's really odd having Larry Thor as the announcer on this series, particularly when he talks about Del Monte vegetables being the best in the world, because it keeps calling into mind with the Broadway's My Beat episodes, where he refers to portions of Broadway as the lonesomest mile in the world. Well, that may just be some odd association on my part. At any rate, we turn now to listener comments and feedback, and we start with this one for an iTunes review from Megan the Pagan, who writes, "The podcaster's intro and ending are at such a higher decibel than the radio stories. I have to turn it up to hear the stories, then I'm blasted out when they end and the podcaster talks. It would be great if it was evened out." Well, thanks so much for the feedback, Megan. And I've looked into that. I've talked to Andrew, and essentially, from talking to him, it seemed like that doing that sort of thing would not be a net plus for the audio quality of the podcast overall. So I'm sorry about that, but yeah, I haven't found a good way to make that work, but thanks so much for the feedback. And then we have this from Cupcake Sean, who writes, "An absolute wonderful podcast. I'm a Lyft driver who spends many, many hours in a car, and this podcast is my favorite. I always save Dragnet for days. I find myself in downtown LA, imagining what the town was like in the time of the original airing, allows traffic to not seem so unbearable. Adam's knowledge and comments add to the light of each podcast. Young, old, or somewhere in between, this podcast will add joy to the day. Thank you, Adam. Wish you much success." Well, thanks so much, Sean. And you can do encourage you to rate and review the shows on iTunes, just as Megan and Sean did. That will actually be all for today. Remember, I do encourage you to become one of our Patreon supporters, patreon.greatdetectives.net. Really appreciate your support. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie, and then next Wednesday, another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.